Welcome to Manufacturing Talk Radio, your source for breaking news, business trends, and economic forecasts here and abroad that impact one-third of America's economy. And now your hosts, Lou Weiss and Tim Grady.
And thank you for joining us on this episode of Manufacturing Talk Radio. I'm Tim Grady. I'm here with my co-host, Lou Weiss, who is president of All Metals and Forge Group. And Lou, we're going to be talking with Anthony Nieves today about the manufacturing report on business.
Actually, it's report on business and services. So, Anthony, you did a fine job. The numbers are looking great. Let's get right into it.
Well, I appreciate you complimenting me on the numbers, almost like I had everything to do with it, but I'll take the credit where, you know, if you're going to give it to me.
Well, it and, looks like you were a little jealous of Tim Fiore's business report because isn't it the same number at 58.7?
And we didn't even talk to each other about that. So, Yeah, it came in exactly the same.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. You must have asked the same people the same questions.
Yeah, right. Except, you know, it's about time that manufacturing has been holding up their end of the bargain here for the economy. So I like to see that. You know, even last month's number at 60.5 was very strong. And the 58.7 composite index for both, I can't remember the last time that's happened, but we'll take it. Looks good.
Yeah. Meanwhile, yesterday's mainstream media was saying, oh, my goodness, the business report took a drop. And all those poor people that listen to mainstream media, they say, oh, my God, the end of the world is coming. It dropped. Little do they realize, and we should explain it, that anything over 50 is a win. So even if it dropped 1 or 2 points, as long as it's over 50, we're expanding.
Yes, and you hit it. You're spot on with that, Lou. I mean, we're measuring change month over month, and as that baseline adjusts each month, it's measuring that growth pattern. And too often, people like to put a numeric value to this diffusion index, like it's a plus or negative, you know, and it's not the case at all. You hit it right on the head.
Well, okay, so let's get to it and see where all the good news is coming from.
Great. Well, when we look at the composite index, as we've been talking about, the 58.7, it's up 1 percentage point month over month. And that composite for the services sector is driven by the four sub-indexes that comprise that, the business activity, new orders, employment, and supplier deliveries. And they're both in the north of the 50 baseline. Business activity at 59.9 is down ever so slightly from the 60.5 last month. Still a very strong reading. New orders.
Sure.
Nice surprise here, up 3.2 percentage points to 61.8 from the 58.6. That tells us what's in the pipeline. That looks very good. The employment picture, which we know that jobs are not fully back from pre-pandemic levels, we contracted last month at 48.7, up 6.5 percentage points to 55.2. Our respondents are indicating that they are staffing in critical areas. As things are starting to open up again, they're starting to take their labor and really look at bringing back some workers. Hopefully this trend will continue. Supply deliveries are slowing, down 5 percentage points from last month where it was 62.8. We do have supply and demand issues. We have overland trucking issues and shortage of truckers continues, as well as comments indicate that we have port congestion as we're backing up with ships coming into the various ports across the country. But so, again, you know, 58.7 on that services PMI, that translates to a 3.4% annualized GDP growth.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The the inventories, which is, I think, the next point that you will probably be hitting on, took a major drop, and it is below 50.
Yes, at 49.2, down 9 percentage points month over month. And what our respondents have been telling us, and think about this, you know, typically at year end, they try to get their inventories down. They push toward getting their inventories down by year end for fiscal purposes. But it was that coupled with the production capacity issues, logistics challenges, supply and demand increasing. This is what caused the shortfall on inventories. So inventories being down is not a bad thing. It does tell us that there's some burn off there, and that the demand is exceeding the supply, and that hopefully we'll see some inventory buildup going forward, which seems to be the what all indications are, that they'll start building up the inventories.
We noticed in the manufacturing report also there was a significant inventory drop, which is only good news because that means they got to start buying stuff. So we're kind of thrilled about that.
And inventories comes more into play on the manufacturing side. You have longer cycle times than you do on the services side. And in services, it's more demand pull, more just in time, versus what you see on the build up for the manufacturing. Mm-hmm. You know that better than I do.
Right, right. Okay.
Anthony,
so,
a couple of sectors that I always find interesting. One right now is restaurants. I mean, all over the country, they're experiencing hard shutdowns or partial shutdowns. How much does that impact this report?
Well, when you look at the food service portion of the in the industry, it's a combination, and food services are lumped together, and they've both taken a hit from this pandemic. It's all because of the customer facing and the proximity of people and just the whole, the way the footprint is for food service establishments. They need to maximize their square footage in order to remain profitable and viable. And it's really in the sense of contribution to GDP, it may not be that significant, but think of all of the labor component of that, of how many people are employed in those industries. And that is what has been affected more so. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to diminish the hardship and of these businesses and the viability long term, but it's all interrelated. You have all of the people that are employed in these industries that are also just been hammered. And you know, I had mentioned on the show previously about how the margins are tight, especially in food service, more so than in what you would see in the hotel and the accommodation side. But certainly in food service, restaurants, even if they're running at optimal levels, they're lucky if they're pulling in, you know, somewhere between 10 and 15% on a gross operating profit. So they need to maximize every single square footage. And so when you've reduced the capacity and you've regulated them to just outside dining, and then you have one of the controllable variable expenses for these operations is payroll, because of the staffing, service personnel, hostesses, anything like that, that gets cut back based on the volume of business and how they're maximizing their capacity. And with that said, these industries, many, especially the small operators that don't have the coffers and don't have the cash liquidity to weather this, they're the ones we may not see come back. They may not come back from this pandemic. Even some of the larger chains have been impacted so hard by this. And so as we look and see things starting to reopen, hopefully it's just a path towards a total reopening. And I think it's all contingent upon the rollout of this vaccine, and hopefully there's no challenges with any variant from that, mutation of the virus, and then seeing the number of cases be reduced across the board and hospitalizations. And we saw some of that diminish or decline, I should say, and that's why we've seen the reopenings in the last couple of weeks or week, depending on what geographic area of the country you're in.
There's a medical report that came out just this morning that claims that after you've had the two vaccinations, if that's the one you got, the Moderna, that you don't need to be wearing a mask anymore. That came out just this morning. And frankly, I don't know who or what to believe anymore. So I'm not suggesting that we stop wearing masks, but this did make the news headlines this morning. And actually, my daughter went for her second shot today, and she called me and said, this is what the hospital told her. The report came out this morning. So if it's true, we may start seeing a sooner turnaround than what I've been predicting of going through this for another year. So we'll have to see how that goes out. Yeah, it sure does.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. Could you imagine no masks or no one in a restaurant coming to serve you looking like they're in a hazmat suit?
And it's so much easier to rob banks with a mask on.
Wow, you must be from back east. You're talking about leveraging this whole mask wearing to rob banks. Come on, really,
yeah.
Lou?
Yeah, that's it. So far, I've got three under my belt.
Yeah, it's the only time ever we could walk into a bank wearing a mask and no one stops you, right?
That's right. So, Anthony, what sectors are driving this index up to 58.7?
Well, we've had 14 of the 18 industries that show or reflect growth, and leading it is real estate, rental, and leasing. Followed by construction, and that's more on the we're seeing definitely from our semi-annual report that we're seeing some capital improvements. Capital reinvestment is a big component going forward. And the third industry there is wholesale trade. And I always like to look at wholesale trade because when you look at services industry, especially multi-unit service industries, they're very with disparate locations. They're very reliant on overland trucking, and they need a distribution channel, and that's where the wholesale trade, they add the time and place value of getting the products delivered from the origin source to the end user.
There is one point that I find interesting, and I'm kind of wondering what the number, what the ISM number would have looked like had new export orders not taken a 10% hit. Down to 47.0.
Yeah, great question. I think that, overall, as far as the composite, it wouldn't have impacted the composite. It's not one of the components of the composite, but certainly when you look at exports, and exports is not as big in the tangible goods area as you would see on the manufacturing side.
Right.
Export, what is mostly exported is the from the services is that whole knowledge management piece, which includes information, professional scientific technical services, management of company and support services. And, information is barely over the baseline as far as when you look at that industry. And but yet management of company and support services, they reflected growth. It's just not on the export side. And what is exported on the services arena is a much smaller percentage than what you see in the manufacturing sector.
Got it. Okay. Well, all in all, it's a good report. How do you feel that this is, typically January is not a good month of the year because you know, we're all recuperating from holidays, whatever kind of holiday we had this year. But January is a kind of a startup month, and it's not generally as good as manufacturing and services has now reported. Is that you agree with that?
Yeah, I think that historically it's always been that pivotal month. We see that carry over from January to early part of February, that it's not quite come back from just because of the post-holiday, as you mentioned. I think we're in a much different arena today due to the mitigating circumstances of the pandemic, that we've been at such low levels, and that any kind of positive direction each month is going to reflect this growth. And but looking around at the environment and what's going on economically, based on also what we had come out of our semiannual forecast, all the respondents feel that 2021 is going to be a good year, provided we don't get derailed here. But I think it's going to be a good year, and as we've spoken in the past, that the second half will certainly be stronger than the first half. So all indications are that we're on this good path going forward. I think a lot of – there's still many variables and contingencies out there, but I'm not trying to put a caveat in place, you know, where your mileage may vary or something like that. But I think going forward, you know, it's just a good positive trend that we see.
And all indications based on prehistoric times.
Pre-pandemic.
February, March typically are, you know, pretty good months, in at least in the manufacturing side. I would assume it's similar on the services side.
Definitely. And I think that it's good to see the strength on the manufacturing side. Manufacturing has always led recoveries, just as it's led us into recessionary periods, and it certainly bodes well for both sectors. Even though the manufacturing, not to, you know, take a shot at manufacturing being the smaller percentage of contribution to GDP, but it still is a bellwether, a good indicator of what is forthcoming.
Anthony, what does your number and Tim's number translate, and I realize we're only in January, what does it translate to in terms of GDP?
On an annualized basis, 3.4% growth.
That would be a great year.
We don't do too many of those.
No, we don't. Well, we were just having a discussion earlier on a show with Chris Keel about GDP and how they compute that number, and that's the fuzziest math that I think I've experienced in some time. I have no clue how they come up with that number.
Yeah, and I think for the, you know, the sake of the listeners, when we look at how we're translating this or transposing it on this services side, it's again on an annualized basis. That's why you see it moving from month to month, since we're only looking at a month snapshot on this report. And so if the trend continues, yeah, that's one thing. But if we have a dip in the numbers next month, it's not going to reflect 3.4, or even if it's an increase, it'll show something higher. But, you know, again, it's just doing a comparison more so than trying to say this is what the true picture is long term.
And I suppose the true picture of a GDP, which number are you talking about? The released number, the revised number, revision number 3, the revision number 4? Which one is the real number?
It goes back to your mileage may vary.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about that. Anthony, this is such a good report, and Lou and I were just chuckling recently that, you know, when the news is good, it's harder to talk about than when the news is bad. so sharing what you know about this report any headwinds? And I know there's COVID out there and a new administration and all those kinds of things. But other than those two big ones, the government and COVID, are there any surprises in there that could upset services as we roll through 2021 at this very early stage?
So far, things look good. When you take out the pandemic, if you take that out of the equation, it makes it tough. There's always been, if you think back to pre-pandemic discussions that we've had, and we were talking about what's going to be the challenge for the economy going forward, because it was looking so good prior to the pandemic. It was like, number one, would it overheat, right? Would we feel some inflationary pressure? We have to keep an eye on prices because we're starting to see some strong prices out there, and mostly driven by not only the supply and demand with limited production capacity, but also certain areas like fuel. Fuel costs are rising, lumber products, steel prices. You know, these are, and of course we have the labor component, the available labor pool that's applicable to outstanding jobs, open positions out there that's not matching up just yet. But putting all that aside, looking at the vaccine rollout is critical in getting us back to some kind of normal state. Even whether, you know, this pans out or not, you know, Lou, you touched on it. If we can get to where we're at levels of operating, no masks, everyone's vaccinated, there's no variant in the equation, no mutation, no virus mutation that's going to cause us to be pushed off the rails here. These are strong things to consider. As far as geopolitical concerns, there have been some rumblings lately, but we'll see how that pans out. Right now, we have to just focus on getting everyone back to work, ensuring that businesses remain viable, and hopefully we'll see this recovery stay on this good path that we see this month.
Yeah, as long as we're not living in Myanmar.
Exactly.
That's
that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, this is really, really good stuff, and you're racking up points for the Yellow Jacket month after month. We're going to have a Yellow Jacket month. Sometime this
year. Sounds good.
We're going to do a Yellow Jacket month. Have to get your jacket size.
Yes,
It was the same jacket size from pre-COVID, so I'm good.
Well, good. And when we do the Yellow Jacket, we are going to have to flip over to Zoom and go audio-video so everyone can vote.
Matter of fact, Anthony, we have started that, and we're beginning to do audio-video shows. And actually, Tim even suggested that perhaps we should be doing that. So we'll, think about that.
Yes. Which Tim are you talking about?
Tim Fiore brought it up.
Just want to make sure I didn't get the Tims mixed up. You know, we're always Tim Square here.
No. Tim Fury. Tim heard we were doing it, and he brought it up and said, "Wow, yeah, I'd like to do that." So we'll have to converse on that.
Certainly, wouldn't it be nice to? I know this year is 2021 is not the case, but it'd be nice to see a in person. International conference again.
Yeah, that would be nice.
That'd be
nice to get out of town once in a while and go to one of these events. Leave home for a while.
Yeah, get off one of those exits in New Jersey. I get it.
Well, then you only go in circles. You get off one of our Jersey exits and you just keep on going in circles.
That's why they think
people in New Jersey are a little crazy.
I contend I contend that the people are living in New Jersey because they can't find their way out. The signage is pretty interesting. Anthony, thanks for joining us again on Manufacturing Talk Radio, and I want to encourage all of our listeners to go to ismworld.org. There's a ton of information there, including this report. And, Anthony, we appreciate and what you share with us and look forward to chatting with you again next month.
Well, thank you for having me on the show, and hopefully everyone in the state of Jersey doesn't dislike Tim and I, so I look forward to next month.
Excellent. Thank you again.
Take care, gentlemen.
And we've been speaking with Anthony Nieves, who is the committee chair for the Services Report on Business from the Institute for Supply Management. Again, that's ismworld.org. And chatting with our show sponsor, Lou Weiss of All Metals and Forge Group. If you're looking for open die forgings or seamless rolled rings, check out steelforge.com. And while you're surfing the web, please stop in at jacketmediaco.com, where you will find links to all of our podcasts. And thank you again for listening to this episode of Manufacturing Talk Radio.
Thanks for joining us on Manufacturing Talk Radio. You can hear our next broadcast each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at mfgtalkradio.com.